You're welcome. I'm accepting your praise in advance. This is Medium Clever. I'm your host, Brett Medill.
I am Sean Stewart.
Yeah, as always, co-host Sean Stewart. Minding the switchings and knobs, Brant Bobby, a.k.a. the People's Champ.
Brant Bobby.
And our guest for this week, host of Stand Up at the Standard every Thursday night, the hilarious comedian Mike Green.
Thank you. Thanks, boys, for having me. Pleased to be here.
Woo.
Awesome. Because when I think of friendly Manitoba, I think of Mike Green.
Have we ever even talked before, Stuart? I don't think that sounds right. I don't think that sounds right at all. I'm vicious.
You know what,
Mike
Green?
You're a vicious motherfucker.
Mike Green is, and I don't mean to get into the topic of race really fast, but I'm envious because Mike Green is the specific shade of brown that he can play any minority that isn't straight up black or British. Mike Green can play every other ethnic group.
He could pass as British, I think.
Well, yeah, but, you know, like...
I look like I could be a lot of different kinds of brown.
Absolutely.
Inoffensive brown, but also dangerous brown. Foreign devil brown, you know?
Exactly.
It's true what you said, like, not black, but maybe give me a couple weeks, man. I get pretty tan, I'm not going to lie to you. And we all know maybe we don't all know, but I did lie my way onto a Filipino show, which I make no apologies for.
I did not know that again
in a minute. So,
how did you convince me to just say Filipino, and then they were like, you're in?
Honestly, the director of the festival reached out to me and was like, you're part Filipino, right? We got this show with Filipino headline. And I was like, I haven't been on any other shows that fest. And I was as soon as I saw the message, without hesitating, and what was probably a foolhardy decision, I just was like, absolutely. I am part of it. Like, how much time do I need? You know, put me in, coach.
So so you're opening for Ron Jossel next?
No, actually, that was in April, but he is at the Rumors the next 2 weeks. People, I mean, I'd like to, check it out.
But I'm envious
by the time because, like, that Ron Jossel
because it's similar. Like, I had my first year of university when I moved to Winnipeg, there was a guy who lived in our dorm that was like a few years older than us. Let's be honest being nice to him, he was a few years older than us, and he was an actor, and he had the kind of brown where he could play everything, and he explained how advantage. But then he also told us how much he hated AJ Naidu from Office Space.
Which one's that?
Samir from Office Space.
Okay, fair enough.
He spoke out that AJ Naidu could suck it because he's taken all the jobs. He's taken all of the brown man jobs. But you know what?
Medium brown man's jobs.
All the medium brown. They're all going to one guy, and he was pissed. But he's great, and we found on Netflix because that particular guy was in. I don't even remember what. Is Friday the 13th Jason or Freddy?
You were going to say Jason, right, Stuart?
It is Jason, but it's Friday the 13th is Jason, right?
Yeah.
Nightmare is Freddy.
Because
he dreams. Nightmare, right?
Yeah.
I got it now. It's all straight. But he was in, like, Friday the 13th part 6, Jason Takes Manhattan or whatever. So,
Jason,
like, it was basically, like, I mean, I was 18. I found IMDb. I was like, I'm looking you up, Michael Beignet. Who's not going to hear this ever? Why would he? But, and it was like, he was, oh God, he was in a Jason movie, and he told us the stories of this movie, so I had to Netflix it to show Sean. He played Gangbanger Number 2. and he's the guy that shoots Jason, and when it doesn't work, he takes a couple steps closer to shoot again.
Because
and he didn't question the director's judgment on this, because the director wrote the movie. And when they were reading through the movie, one of the actors talked some smack about the script because he didn't realize the director had written it. And he pointed out to me, and it's absolutely true. He could not possibly be making it up. If you watch the movie, there's like this one white kid in like the group of teenagers who is clearly they're the main characters of the story. But every time it looks like he has something to say, fucking cut. Fucking director destroyed every line that guy got. Fucking out. Done. It's the most petty, vindictive, and easily recognizable thing. And I love it. But we were talking about hip-hop.
Yeah, I was gonna say what is this show about? What is happening here?
We just kind of go back and forth to things.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about race. Well, that just kind of naturally led me to my brown associate. That we were gonna talk about him sooner or later because he was the voice of Bob on Reboot.
Yeah, and he was in an episode of 24 where he gets killed.
Yeah, he got killed in 24.
He got stabbed by someone.
So he's getting paid.
He got kneed in the balls.
Paid.
He got kneed in the balls by Michael Chiklis on
and
the Shield.
He was in Uwe Boll's classic masterpiece, Postal.
Postal, yeah. He played a terrorist.
Didn't Uwe Boll fight a guy, like box a critic?
Yes!
What are we like
who's booking 19 years younger than
it was like the critics were like, you're a terrible director, and he said, I'll fight you. And some of them said, okay, for charity, we'll do that. And then Uwe Boll went in there and was like, oh no, this isn't charity, I'm gonna beat the fuck out of you.
And he just beat the shit out of all of them.
So he just beat the tar out of he just beat the tar out of them.
You gotta like wonder how people like that get big movies. Like someone like, no, put this guy in charge. Like, no.
Well, I think his whole story was he got started because he was exploiting like loopholes in the German tax system. So like rich assholes would give him money to make movies as a tax write off.
I thought he had like some cult hit though or something like with the video.
Oh
game
yeah,
culture,
everybody loves Blood Rain. Right. Jeremy Irons in
Maybe
Dungeon Siege.
Maybe I give our friend Mr. Bull too much credit, apparently.
Oh, Christian Slater is Alone in the Dark?
Yeah.
He had one video game movie that... Wasn't it one that, like, during the movie actually cut to in-game footage? Like, really
House
terrible
of the Dead? House of the Dead?
Yeah,
the
was Dead. That him? Yeah. I think. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that was, like, the first one so where bad. It was like, oh, that's a bad movie. And then it was like, oh, wait, that guy? He's making every other video game into a movie now too.
You know what they butchered, which could have been a good video, like Max Payne. I thought was one of my favorite video games.
That was a pretty good.
It was trippy as hell.
The movie was meh.
Yeah. I didn't even bother.
I got through like a quarter of it.
My dick was like semi hard. I'm like, buddy, like, come on, you know this is
yeah. That was like me with the disappointment of the Silent Hill movie.
I don't even hate Marky Mark, and I didn't watch Max Payne. I openly enjoyed Four Brothers, and I'm not afraid to say it.
That was a good movie. I liked that movie.
It had a lot of heart. It had a lot of heart.
They were brothers.
It had Andre 3000.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned Brown parts, because I was actually up for the Andre 3000 role. And no. Like, I did. I had my lines, and I crushed it. I crushed it, and I did my sides. So it sounded great, and... You know, the worst thing about Hollywood is just they don't even say no anymore. They just don't call, you know?
Yeah.
And then you see it through the grapevine. Mm-hmm. And then it's on goddamn TMZ, you know?
And you're like, well, if one half of Outkast is gonna audition, clearly. But but it's the disrespect, right?
Yeah, and you know what? At the end of the day, I don't even take it personally. It's all politics, man. It's ridiculous, you know? It's ridiculous. I don't even mess with it.
Sean felt that way a few years ago. They screwed up. They made his biopic, and... And they didn't even cast him in it. They cast Bill Murray in Larger Than Life.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to come up with something more ridiculous.
That's pretty ridiculous. It's a movie about an elephant.
I thought it was going to be Notorious. For some reason, I thought you were going to say Notorious was actually about Jon Stewart. No, Notorious. That song was it's actually him. It's crazy.
That's the Biggie movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's not 1966 Alfred Hitchcock, right? Right? Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
You ready to die, Sean? Sean's ready to die.
My life is similar to Biggie Smalls.
Oh, man, your name rang out from Ghetto Street Corners for at least 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
It's ringing out there right
now. It's ringing out in the corners right now.
Trash Kona's ringing.
Trash Kona is
alive with hollas for Sean Stewart.
Yeah.
And little poppers run when they see you come down the street. You know, little gangsters, they step off. Oh, shit. That's Sean, right. It's Sean coming. Sean's coming.
They hear the farmer in the dell. And they know to hoof it.
Yeah.
Watch Man, everybody here had Slurpees. I thought those were in my rider. Everybody got him but me.
Oh, shit. It's Did terrible. You not hook him up with the Slurpee?
Fuck you.
It was in my rider.
That was
rider.
Not my responsibility. I showed up here with a Slurpee by myself, and then I arrive, and the scene around here goes, now we all need to have Slurpees. And then they went to get Slurpees, but they didn't bring one for Mike Green. I am not taking the heat for this. I refuse. That's part of my shtick. I don't take blame.
It's two strikes, Brett.
It's two strikes.
Don't hate on me.
If you think I won't fucking walk. Oh, we should ask. We can swear, obviously.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't have to sell. You have to celebrate it. Come on.
We had Bill Patz on. Do you think clearly it's okay? We don't have the budget. Everything. We don't have the budget for the beep sound.
So it just goes.
Well,
we're losing that Disney audience. We're losing.
Damn it.
You know, I was really hoping we'd get streamed on Nickelodeon.com.
Those kids would love all of our references. The kids today love Uwe Boll, right?
Yeah.
Of course. I was looking forward to that next cameo in Camp Rock
3. They have the internet.
3.
They're like, I was way into Uwe Boll right before the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah. Tough times.
It was tough times.
I don't know if it was tough times for Nickelodeon or the kids.
Tough time for, Disney Kids Channel.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, they'll find something to just.
Honestly, they don't. Has there ever been a flop Disney Kids Channel?
A superhero rock star,
I don't.
And he's a kid. He's a kid just like you.
Yeah. I don't think that those shows, the shows that are hits on ABC Family or whatever, they're not great shows, right? They could just put on anything and it would be a hit. That seems to be
basically
what I understand.
It's the channel that kids are allowed to watch. And kids being kids who want to watch TV.
All kids can watch it.
I save the city?
No
Do
matter
I
how,
save my face?
No matter how
he
crazy Christian
you.
Your parents are, you can watch ABC Family.
It's true.
You at least have that. And methamphetamines, probably. In the tub.
Meth in the tub?
That's the classy way to make meth, I guess.
That's how you do it.
I didn't picture brewing in the tub. I thought you were in your tub doing meth, and I was like, is that a thing?
Oh,
very.
You've never smoked meth in a shower before, man? Shower beers are great. Meth in a shower,
and I do think shower beers are great. Let's get that straight.
It's awesome.
Hey, you know what's better than an ice cold beer? Drinking it in a hot shower. Yeah. It is the ultimate way to enjoy a beer.
I think cans might also just play a part in enhancing the thing because if you think about it,
doesn't hurt.
You ever watch that It's Always Sunny episode where they drink wine from the
wine
cans?
And right.
You know, it just improves it. I love it. It favors my way of speaking, which is to use my gestures, which you know.
Yeah. I'm not getting wine all over me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and if you haven't heard this, Always Sunny fans, breaking news, Mac's going to be a fat guy next season just because he thought it would be funnier.
He got fat.
He packed on Apparently, 50, 60 pounds. Charlie broke it in some interview with Entertainment Tonight or something. But then I saw a picture on Twitter that some girl had of her and Charlie and Mac on the street. And he was full blown out there in a fucking Hawaiian shirt, all untucked. And he was a good 50 pounds heavier of Mac.
Wow. That
and apparently he just put on the weight because he thought it would be funny.
Fat guy does equal comedy.
Which
maybe
I think
fall down a lot.
Either it'll be super, super funny, or they're grasping at straws creatively.
I think their last season wasn't as good.
I think they've been hit and miss the last couple seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
But the hits have been
That's
amazing.
True. They still do make hits. But at the start, every episode was really good, and now they are kind of forced to. You know, how many fast talking huddles can you really see? You know, people are get it.
How many episodes can we really involve Rickety Crickets per season?
It's great.
I don't know. I think it's awesome. And Who Pooped the Bed is still my favorite episode of all time.
I like the one where I think it was Sweet D has a heart attack when she has to walk a mile in his shoes. And there's a thing about the cats, and
I
don't want to spoil it for all the viewers out there in podcast land who hasn't seen it.
For the 12 people listening.
And yeah.
Kitten Mittens.
Kitten Mittens is, man, that guy, Charlie Day's in a movie now too, right?
Horrible Bosses.
Horrible Bosses.
Yeah. It looks okay.
I'm down with it. Yeah. I'm going to definitely give it a go.
I think I'd see that.
Yeah, for sure.
Jason Bateman has earned my trust.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis is funny. I don't if he was on his own. I don't know if I'd watch it, but
Jennifer Aniston is still hot.
Jennifer Aniston and not playing Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, yeah, she's
good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's true. She definitely got typecast for some length of time there.
I think that was all her own doing.
Well, surprise, surprise, you play Rachel for 12 years of her and people want to see more Rachel. She's the, I don't know.
Oh, is that why Michael Richards' show never worked out?
No, probably not. Probably the racial slur.
Well, he had like three or four different attempts at solo projects before he was turned into a terrible racist.
I think he only had like one that I recall. They all had one right after.
Didn't he have like a detective, like the Michael Richards show? He was like a private detective. Like the private detective shows don't work.
IMDb.
See Andy Richter.
Let me guess. Was he just bumbling around in a Kramer-esque fashion?
I don't know, because I didn't watch it either. Oh, CBS said, bring it on down. Money? But
so, hello.
Okay, there we go.
Awesome.
Yay.
So check out IMDb for us, Justin.
Are we looking up
round
Rachel?
Round of applause for Justin, ladies and gentlemen.
Justin Gorin! Woo!
Yeah.
Applause.
Pulling up all these.
He's gonna
show us things. Amazing is that if 50 years ago, they would have sci-fi that looked like people pulling up things on a whim on giant glowing screens.
Yeah.
And now it's the dream we live every day.
Oh, yeah. Look up Michael Richards.
Look up Michael Richards.
Look up the most
successful man in show business.
Look for Laugh Factory.
Michael Richards.
No. Let's not do that.
Well, let's see what we got here.
The YouTube commentary show. Okay, since Seinfeld, he was in the David Copperfield television, the Michael Richards show, all seven episodes.
What was
and
it about?
Then he played Michael Richards on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Wow.
Oh, it's nice Seinfeld threw him apart in B-movie. That's what that is.
They just actually they didn't even talk to him. He just took clips from Seinfeld and cut them out and made a B say them.
Yeah,
he already owned that footage. He had to credit him, but he didn't actually have to record anything new.
B's always coming in and
wow, he did everything for that show, didn't he? He produced and wrote it.
Yeah, that's why it ended up
and
with seven episodes.
That just goes to show at that point, like you have enough clout and like ability to meet people who will let you do that stuff that, like, I'm sure it wasn't very good.
Sure.
And he's everything on, you know, but people at that point owed Michael Richards a little some.
And he's a fringe talent with one gear. And if he hadn't gotten Seinfeld, he'd be best known as the janitor in UHF.
Oh, which was a great role. Well,
which was great.
Great role.
Which, you know what? I think that is equally as good to be remembered for as being Kramer. Or at least it's as good as being remembered for saying a bunch of horribly racist things.
Yeah, at least as good as being a big racist.
At least as good as that. Who wants a drink from the fire hose?
You found the marble in the
oatmeal,
bitch.
That was...
I don't know. That was a really random swear.
I hardly remember, but that was like, he was the janitor, but then once he wandered on air, like, everybody loved him.
Yeah.
And so then he was doing every show.
You know how it works on local TV.
Oh,
you just wander
and
in front of the camera,
and
then the audience clamors for you. Yeah. Mike Green, I didn't even mention it because it's not airing right now. It was off of my mind that Mike Green is a part of the hit local comedy series The Week Thus Far on Shaw TV.
We're on the UHF.
And the internet. Last episode we had Dan Heughan, and now we've got Mike Green, also another member of the cast.
Yeah, we definitely.
Team.
It's always available on the internet, though.
Absolutely.
Always, so you don't have to. At all times. The Week Thus Far, we'll hopefully do something in the summer, too, and that'll be a nice way to get everybody doing stuff.
Awesome. What?
Oh, man, you know what's funny? Tim and Eric, who were on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Their friend Aaron Murky is a guy who came up in Winnipeg like as a comedian.
Yeah.
Do you know he won the funniest person like a long time ago? He was on the Bud Light commercial this past playoffs, but was at the King's Head this weekend, and when he found out my dad was a math Marty, he lost his mind. He straight lost his shit. And he said that those Tim and Eric guys are big fans too. So I was joking that this is all in the public access theme. It's funny that Marty, my dad, had some fame for that, local fame, and now the irony is not lost that now I'm on the same public access.
Nice.
That's not irony. That's just success breeding success.
That's the circle of life.
That's winning. That is winning.
Straight up stone cold winning.
I'm getting tired, though. You guys should help me figure out a new character to do, because I did one thing the whole time, which was the Kijiji sales, and I grew...
you grew tired of it?
Well, it's just hard to write that kind of stuff all the time.
Fair.
And the character could only get more sort of played out as time goes on, so I'd like to do a different thing.
It was good, though. I enjoyed it.
I had a lot of fun, and I think right when I was getting to the end of it, I kind of run out of ideas, so it was a natural progression. I did like 10 things like that. I don't know. Some of which had multiple sales. So the thing is, it's a tough balance of finding a something that is crummy, but that the person listing it legitimately believes in it.
Yeah, they think it's awesome.
Yeah, so they would do a good write up and really tell you like the selling points.
And they want more money than it could possibly be worth. No, this thing is awesome. Like some tragedy has to be befalling them that they're parting with it. Even like, that's the kind of commitment that you're looking for.
Hooked on crack,
I really think there should be some more shady business expose type pieces. Like, some street sense style journalism.
Oh, yeah? That's a good call. Consumer, I forgot about street sense.
Consumer fucking watchdog.
I was thinking about
how... We can do just useless experiments on like paper towels.
Rock pile up in the sma.
I could set all that up. I could actually do that.
You know what I'm saying?
Jonathan Torrance has been working since Street Sense, and that's why people are like, oh, Street Sense, oh, Canadian TV, oh, dude. And I'm like, no. Jonathan Torrance is a he's a Clydesdale. He will take anybody's job if they're paying. He's worked consistently since.
Oh, yeah. Straight out of Halifax, motherfucker, watch out. Jonathan Torrance is looking out for number one.
He was on Joe Schmo.
And number one is Jonathan Torrance, Yeah, he was the gay guy on Joe Schmo.
Yeah, I don't even think I watched that show.
I only watched it because I saw one episode because I was like, I saw Jonathan Torrance in the commercial.
Yeah,
and that's enough to make a Canadian kid watch one episode of a terrible Spike TV show.
They all just lied to him for a season, right?
Yeah, that was the setup of the show. Was that one guy was on a reality show and everyone else was cast? Yeah,
that's what was he competing for, too? Like, was it money, or...?
Yeah, but there really wasn't any money. Like, ha-ha, you just gave us... you're a fool. Ha-ha.
It's a bad... they made... I mean, they'll make any reality show now if they think there's half a chance. And, like, they made some... There was that one that was the same idea as that, like, The Bachelorette, but it was, like, the guy was actually, like, broke. Like,
oh, right. Joe Millionaire. He was a construction worker, and they're like, this guy's fucking rich.
Yep.
And then it's like, sorry.
Fuck.
He pounds nails. Still want to marry him? You whore? That's what the show should have been called.
This for
you
money?
Still want to marry him now, whore? That would have been the appropriate
name. Wouldn't have got past the green light, I don't think.
But people would have fucking watched that.
Those shows bring out the worst in the women who get competitive against each other.
Funny.
And I remember, I never watched any of them, but like, my sister was huge into The Bachelor, especially, and she said that there's kind of thing where, like, not a lot of The Bachelors bone a lot of the women just because, like, I guess it's supposed to be good taste in knowing some of you film, like, guys kind of like, oh, I don't want to be clearly taking advantage. But there was one Bachelor, she said he was the least attractive of all the Bachelors that they've had, and he took down the most, and he was just like, well, I'm cashing in, like, got all these women who are...
I'm going straight up Poontown,
super competitive
fellas.
Right now, yeah. So he just dogged it all over town.
That's great. My sister is still an avid Big Brother watcher.
Shit's played
every
out.
Summer. Big Brother, Big Brother, Big Brother. Every summer. I think it's sad, personally.
I can't believe they still make that.
There's so much... Like, summer isn't... Like, when Big Brother started, watching TV in the summertime was... You'd watch Big Brother because it was the only new thing that anyone was putting on TV.
Right.
But now, like, all the cable channels have good shows on in the summer still. Breaking Bad is coming back, and it's the best show currently on TV, probably.
Definitely.
Or extremely close.
Breaking Bad, yeah, that's...
It's just...
Well,
it's easily
good.
The best
and
show
you know what?
On TV.
The premise, if someone just told you the premise and you've never heard of it, it doesn't sound like it would be... It sounds like it's, like, a little bit... overthought, like, no, you see, it's a high school chemistry teacher and he gets cancer, and you're like, oh no, and he's got a disabled kid, oh, and then he cooks meth to look out for his family,
and like, it's the best meth.
Is it starring Damon Wayans?
Sounds a little screwball, but
no, it's starring the dad from Malcolm in the Middle. Well, fucking sign me up. And, oh, wait. Yeah, it's fucking great.
It's pretty awesome. Bryan Cranston's a pretty good actor, though. I like him.
No, he's awesome.
He's an awesome dude. He was good when he hosted SNL.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot, because most of those are terrible now.
Oh, when did he host SNL?
There's no excuse.
Like 2 years ago, I think.
Really?
You can only blame the writing or the producing on SNL, because the cast of performers they have, they could do anything. Like, they have some very talented people there. So
the
they just must
are definitely
not be
lazy and terrible.
Yeah, it must be the
they
writing.
Just throw whatever.
Man, if you watch their scenes now, it's just one joke that is forced to play out repeatedly. Like, the joke never changes or twists. Like, I remember I was like, now as you know, you get into comedy, you kind of watch more. And I was watching one recently in the whole opening skit. It was like 4 minutes, and Kristen Wiig, they love to just abuse the shit out of her and make her do one joke. And I watched it was 4 minutes, and there was basically two turns to the joke. Like, there's and it just played out over and over.
But I Kristen Wiig is very talented, but she started to annoy me because I hate all of her regular characters. But I gained a little respect for her because I did read a few months ago that she has decided that she will not do Gilly anymore, or the one-up lady.
Right, right. Well, it's not her fault, though, why people, if they start to see that, she seems like she's...
Yeah, no, I know that it's not her fault.
They're just lazy writers.
But I'm just glad that she took a stand and is like, okay, I'm not going to do Gilly anymore. Thank you, Kristen Wiig, because I could not suffer through another Gilly.
If we're getting any more messages to Kristen Wiig, if anybody wants to pass along, I'll date her. I've thought about it.
Though,
I've thought about it for a while, but I'll do it.
Though I won't... I will not say that I would not have sex with her while she was dressed as Gilly anyway.
You see her in Bridesmaids?
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Very much. Very, very, very nice.
I think...
Super number one.
Her her impression of the erection will just live on in infamy, because everybody knows it's so true. And, that's her contribution to, like...
But that movie, I think, that had great performances, and there were some really, really great funny moments. But as a film, it doesn't hang together at all.
No, it's true. There's the love story that's like, hey, well, we can't make it too easy, so she just has to be irrational and, like, scare him off. And then the thing was, I found that, it was like, at times, because of all, like, you just felt too bad for, like, so much shitty stuff was happening to her, or she was being so unsympathetic, like, it's just hard to watch at
times.
And
then when it gets fixed just, like, for no reason at all. It's just like, oh, wait, now your friend needs you again.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Happy ending alert. Like, no, it was fucking whack. But it had enough funny to kind of, while you were watching it, you could kind of forget that. You were able to not notice until afterwards, when you're kind of like, wait a second. That hung together just as well as every other romantic comedy. It was just actually funny.
A little, like, funnier.
Have you seen, or you know the guy who's doing the yoga in the park? Or, like, leading the boot camp in the park? The huge black guy who's yelling at them, and they're, like, exercising far away. And then they're mooching off his boot camp.
Okay.
Anyway, that guy was...
was it Terry Crews?
Terry Crews, there we go.
Oh!
From the, he was in the Stallone...
I thought it was
Dolph Lundgren.
I thought it was Terry Tate, office linebacker.
Yeah, that's him.
That's Terry
Crews.
Okay, right.
Yeah, he was office linebacker. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. And then what was the movie called? Expendables.
Yeah.
He was in that. He's awesome.
The Expendables was pretty crummy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well,
what do you expect?
You know what though? It's worth your money to watch Stallone run on camera.
They couldn't
shoot the movie without you getting a good glimpse of Stallone actually running at least once. And it's hilarious because, like, he doesn't look as old because of all the work he's had done. But when he's running, you're like, okay, that guy's in his mid-60s.
Just stay in your truck.
Yeah. I thought, driver. Let Statham run somewhere.
I liked Rambo, so I thought it'd be maybe as good as the last Rambo that he did. Violent one. Did you not see that?
I only a couple months ago watched the first Rambo in its entirety for the first time.
Oh man, the first one is so money.
Wow, Justin just put the IMDb on.
And Expendables 2.
Looks like there's going to be an Expendables 2.
Oh, he's in the Zookeeper?
Oh, he's Joe the Lion.
Super smash hit of the summer, Zookeeper?
That looks so bad.
Everybody's favorite movie?
It's...
Sorry, I just remembered this, but wasn't there something at the end of The Expendables where Oh, wait, nah, you said you didn't see it?
I saw it.
Oh, wasn't there something where Dolph Lundgren was actually alive at the end?
Yeah.
And did that not make any sense? I thought they
killed him. No, it didn't make any sense at all. And then it's like he's trying to kill them, and then they totally fuck him up. And then all of a sudden at the end, it's like, hey, oh, wait, he didn't die, and he's our friend again.
Yeah, and he's our friend again.
Hey, remember when he double-crossed us?
They're like, all right,
we forgave him.
Yeah, we'll see you Monday, Dolph, or whatever his name was.
It makes me sad to see Dolph. And the more you learn about Dolph Lundgren, it just makes you sad to see him play those roles when you're like, this guy has, like, several, like, master's degrees and shit. Like, he's actually, like, a legitimately, like, extremely smart dude.
Oh, I never knew that.
And then he's like, yeah, he's playing in The Expendables or like Army of One, like when he used to star in all those shitty B movies.
Man, he was in the original Punisher.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And also, of course, Masters of the Universe. He was He-Man.
Yeah. That
was a terrible, terrible movie, Masters of the Universe. Like, you want to exercise in terrible.
They thought they had a franchise on their hands.
Yeah, the whole movie it revolves around like a weird magic wand that just goes doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, like the entire movie. It just makes annoying sounds, and they're like, "This is gonna carry us for 17 movies right here."
They pulled a Robert
sounds.
Rodriguez and charged a bunch of credit cards to make the movie, and then it just didn't.
Actually, I think it was produced by like the two Israeli producers that produced every terrible movie in like the 70s and early 80s, like the guys that made like Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Oh,
like,
nice.
They also made Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
You know a lot about these two Israelis.
I remember that they were notable for producing nothing but really, really bad movies.
It's a great legacy to leave behind for them.
They probably made money, but they didn't make good movies.
They made, that's for sure. It was like Uwe Boll money.
Yeah, Uwe Boll's successful.
Yes.
I guess so. He's still making movies.
We know his name, I guess.
This is the first broadcast of any sort to reference Boll twice in one-hour segment.
It's a world record or something.
Yeah. I guess we've kind of made a habit, not intentionally, of bringing up some pretty fucking dead shit. Some very low profile shit.
It's Stan. We're not mentioning it on this fucking episode.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm just saying we have every episode. It seems like we're talking about some ancient, like no one's even borderline aware of it anymore. We're like, let's thrust that into the spotlight for no reason. It just kind of comes up. Uwe Boll was hit today.
Yep.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
He'll fight you.
He will fight you.
And he'll kick your ass.
He'll win, yeah.
He'll fight you and he'll win. Exactly. It's fucked up. Hey, look, I've got things here to talk about. Oh, that's still Breaking Bad. I love, like, Breaking Bad's great, and it's, like, the only drama, I think, that's on par with, like, the great HBO dramas.
Yeah.
It's the only one that's not an HBO show. That's on par with the best HBO shows.
Mad Men was. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I've watched Mad Men. It's up there too.
Yeah, it feels like an HBO show. The production value is like AMC is just putting HBO style production value into things now. It's like
exactly, and that's and when you do that, you get Breaking Bad, Mad Men, The Walking Dead, some legitimate hits.
Yeah,
and they got like a Western coming that I'll watch the hell
Cowboys
out of
Cowboys versus Aliens.
Hell on Wheels.
Hell on Wheels.
It's going to be good.
That looks pretty good.
It's got to be good. It's about, what, like railroad expansion?
Who cares?
Blazing Saddles, the television series.
Man, I didn't even know about that. That sounds pretty badass, though.
Yeah, I don't remember who's in it, but yeah, it's like a Western.
It's pretty
Game
badass.
Of Thrones and is looking
I
like.
I still haven't seen that yet.
Oh.
It's supposed to be pretty.
Well, I'll refrain from the spoilers.
No, let's do it.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, that one is, like, for me, I think probably Sopranos is. Favorite HBO show, but I really did like the first three seasons of Entourage. Like HBO just makes hits, but and at first with Game of Thrones I wasn't that sure, but by the end of the season I'm actually into it to the point where I think that's going to be one of the greats too. If you can digest like the fantasy,
yeah, some people just aren't willing to go there.
Yeah, it's true medieval fan. It has a niche. I know that.
Yeah, but it also, I mean, I think they pay enough of a nod to this thing called character development.
It's true.
That it's not just like a straight up Star Wars or anything, you know. Like Star Wars is just like flashing lights and
and
funny looking aliens. Like there wasn't really a lot of writing involved.
It's true. The Game of Thrones too doesn't really rely too heavily. Well, it does, but in the first season, there's very few references sort of the supernatural.
Yeah.
And then it ramps up towards the end.
It's all very grounded. And like, it'll like, even if you're not into that, it's going to like, yeah. It's going to bring you in. It's going to, you know, it's going to whisper listen, some sweet nothings so into your ear.
Let me put it to you this way. Did a chick by the end of the series birth dragons? Yes. Yes, she did. Is that sold in any way historically accurate? Who knows? Who knows if there was dragons, really? Clearly. None of us actually know. Probably not, but none of us really know. Either way, it manages to balance it to the point where I'm not a big fancy guy. I'm into it. I can enjoy, you know what my thing is? I like to enjoy any genre if it's well done. I think people are like, yeah, sure. I only exactly. read sci-fi, or like, yeah, I hate yeah. sci-fi. It's like, well, you think there aren't great writers who just yeah. happen to gravitate towards yeah. that subject matter?
Don't
like,
limit exactly. yourself. Yeah. Just limit yourself for to sure. things that are good, regardless of you know, where they come from or what genre they are. Yeah. I like 6 Feet Under. That was some dark, slow shit, but I loved 6 Feet Under.
I should have watched that.
Sopranos was great.
The Wire actually is the Wire, what I rep the hardest yeah. these days.
The
so
Wire
I mean,
is
should,
my.
Yeah.
The Wire is my still my favorite.
Actually, you know what? The Wire for me has now overtaken Sopranos. Admittedly,
yeah.
now that I think
it's yeah, it's my favorite by far.
I abuse so many lines from The Wire that you would think I grew up on the streets of Baltimore. Yeah.
I mostly stick with shit.
You know Charles Demers? He's a Canadian comic.
I know the name.
Anyway, he's a funny guy, and he had I'm on Facebook, and he had one stats about how he saw the guy who is Clay Davis
okay.
In the street, and the guy said, shit, and he was like, basically, what happened was that he walked past him, and he was like, look, like, yeah, I'm not going to ask you to say it, but like, I respect you too much to ask you to say it, but like, you know, and yeah. then Clay Davis just walked away from it and turned back and went, shit.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So,
you know what? I watched that Ed Helms movie, Cedar Rapids, mm-hmm. and the guy who plays Clay Davis, he's the black guy in Cedar Rapids, and you know, I don't know. I had trouble buying him.
Yeah, yeah.
I was
just,
like,
you only saw Clay Davis.
Nah, man. That guy's corrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a nice guy. Don't trust him. He'll screw you over.
Yeah. Oh, man, so many. My favorite Clay Davis line of all time. I'll take any motherfucker's money if he giving it away. Yeah, you yeah. want me to ask a man where he gets his money from? Shit. I can honestly do so many of the Clay Davis rants from that just because I've watched them on YouTube after having seen them in the shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
I'm probably due for like a fourth or fifth run through of that entire series on in my free time someday again. It's pretty solid.
I skipped season 2 when I did a second. I yeah. rewatched it kind of in parts.
Yeah.
And I skipped the second. I like the second season. I just didn't feel the urge to rewatch it.
Yeah, it's it's definitely the hardest season to pay close attention to.
Yeah. Though it was an aspect of the story that was good to tell.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
On the whole, like, I love how every season it follows the dealers and the cops, dealers, and like someone else, you know, kind of.
Yeah, it's like it's just giving you a picture of the whole city, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I've been watching the Tremé as well, which is like his new show, which is his current show, right? And really, it's the exact same show as The Wire. It just doesn't follow the law and order aspect so much. But it's just, essentially, it's just a tale of a different city.
Right, right.
But it's all about like understanding the city and kind of getting a sense of the place. So it's kind of a... It appeals to the geographer in me, in the guy who
I'm
took
sure
too many geography courses. It's all like, I see what you're doing there, David Simon, and I'm into it in a big way.
And then you make love to the TV.
If we're talking about geography, True Blood is in Bon-Ton, Louisiana.
I guess it's just a stone's throw from Tremé. Different world, though. Slightly
yeah,
more,
stuff.
Slightly less based in reality than Tremé.
And that's what attracted me to it in the first place.
Tremé is only a fantasy in that it's set in 2006.
It's set back slightly earlier.
It's like, remember Katrina? This is like the year after that.
Historical fiction.
Yeah, it's historical. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, True Blood's just like, no, there's fucking shit's crazy. You're all going to die.
In Louisiana.
If you are a human being, they're... Just commit suicide because there are way too many magic things out to get you.
Jump into a pond of alligators.
And just but they're probably were-gators.
Yeah.
Were-gators.
You don't really want to get into that whole fucking system either. You don't want to feed the insanity.
I'm in a pond with a deer in my stomach. What did you do last night? I transformed into a gator. Oh my god. Snooky.
Fucking ate a bunch of shit.
Snooky. That's Bill. Sucky. On Jersey Shore.
Sucky. Sucky. I can't believe, though, that you obviously have such disdain for it. Obviously.
Obviously.
And the fact is that before we were saying, like, you know, just keep your mind open, but, like, you watch a few seasons, as we've discussed, you kept too open a mind to the point where you're only yourself to blame for hating it so much.
Exactly. Like, I said, Game of Thrones, it whispers sweet nothings in your ear, it kisses you a little, it brings you in before it gives you the dragons and the magic. And True Blood tried that. They tried it. They did. The first season is like
successful
vampires.
With it.
And you're okay, I can watch like a sexy vampires show. That's like Twilight. No, it's not Twilight. It's sexy vampires. I'm like, okay. With real sex. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. And it's like, but there's also shapeshifters. I'm like, oh, well, I guess if we've got vampires, we can have shapeshifters. Like, next season, though, we've got werewolves, too. Well, I guess if we got shapeshifters, werewolves seems okay, right? But there's also witches and warlocks and fairies and what else? Is there anything else? Maenads, demigods. It got to the
and
far, far past the point of ridiculousness. And I think what I was talking to you guys about on a previous date was that it's like the value of watching True Blood was not that it was of quality, but for its sexiness.
Right, right.
So, like, they'd be like, hey, check it out, sexiness. Check it out, hot tit action and stuff. But it just got too ridiculous to, like, there wasn't enough tits.
To value.
Or you know, there isn't an amount of tits that could make the show watchable at this point.
There isn't an amount?
It has crossed the tits threshold.
Oh, well, I would defy you on how many tits you can fit in a frame, my friend, and what those tits could be doing. But regardless, I understand your point. We can be hard
to know
what?
Tough debate. So, Brad, would you say that True Blood sucks?
Oh, You play right into their hands.
Yeah, I would. I'd say it sucks. Oh. Uh-huh.
Advantage
you
HBO.
You suck.
Man, I think the best boobs and usage thereof in the hardcore shows, well, not the hardcore shows, but
the hardcore
like
shows.
HBO shows that get away with that because they're not, you know, subject to any laws. Like,
right.
Do you ever watch Rome? Rome had some pretty gratuitous,
yes.
Apparently, yeah.
Gratuitous
I
sexiness.
Seen it,
sure.
But it was also a great show, so it wasn't like, I'm only sticking around for the tits. It was like, you know, I enjoyed
yeah,
all
it was
of
a
it.
Good show. And True Blood's just not going in that direction.
It's going the other way.
It's
not
going
good
the
way.
Other way as much as possible.
You want it to be one way, but it's the other way. That's some wisdom from our friend Marlo Stanfield from The Wire, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Shit.
I just wish people would stop asking me to do the impressions all the time. You know, that's what I wish, because it's not a big deal. Like they're not a big deal, but just people always asking. So.
Yeah, yeah. The fans are always
they're always asking, man.
Nice. Hey, man, hit us with some prop Joe.
I got a proposition for you.
Spot on. That's exactly what he would say.
He's just a fat man. The character of Fat Joe, like, at times you're watching The Wire and you're like, this is so gritty. I bet this is what it's like. But then you step back and you're like, fucking prop Joe? Like, a fat guy who's always making prop, backdoor prop, and just like, no. I mean, some of it maybe was gritty, yes, but other parts are definitely dramatized.
This is the guy who's really running shit.
Yeah.
Fatty Magoo.
Fatty Magoo, he was, until Marlo took him down. You know what I liked on that was
cheese.
Cheese having the role, and the funniest thing is that's Method Man, the rapper. And I saw, because I'm a fiend, and I looked up all the stuff on YouTube. I saw something from the DVDs, and it's like people talking about what they auditioned for, like kind of behind the scenes stuff. And you know, Daniels is like, "Oh, I auditioned for Bubbles," blah blah. And then they cut to Method Man, and he's like, "A lot of guys be saying like, oh, why Meth get a part on The Wire? Why Meth have a part on The Wire? Because I learned my lines. Because I went to." Like, he's like so indignant about clearly people having to read him. He's like, "I worked hard. That's why I got the part." So funny because he's
fuck all y'all.
Yeah, now he's like
Wu Tang.
Yeah, it's so good. Oh, man.
Method and Red.
I'm talking that back in the day shit. There ain't no back in the day.
Yeah.
All there is the streets and the game and what happened here today. And then he just gets smoked. Unbelievable.
That's the game.
That's the game, man. The game is the game.
The game is the game.
A
lot
of
people don't get it, but
the
game is the game.
Game done,
like
change.
Swears.
Omar. I love Omar.
You know, they had a lot of guys in that who, like, I don't really see, but, like, Slim Charles, another great. Charles, slightly small role
I
than
like
Omar.
Slim Charles,
Omar was a fairly
for sure.
big. But a lot of good people in that. The funniest thing is that, you know, Snoop, the girl?
Yeah.
She is basically just Snoop. Like,
yeah.
herself.
Straight up. Yeah. The deacon, the guy who played the deacon was, like, he'd gotten out of prison recently.
Yeah.
Like, he was a hardcore, like, he was one of those gangsters. And then he got the role as the deacon.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Slim Charles is great. Snoop is, like, yeah, Snoop is currently going to go to jail.
I watched an interview with her, yeah, and she was, like, basically she did time when she was younger because she straight up, like, just, like, heard a fight on another corner and, like, ran towards it and ended up killing girl, you know? Like, just
yeah.
Looking
for trouble.
Like, let that ammo spray on the corner, you know? It was crazy.
That's what they call cred, I believe.
Well.
That's what they call cred down in the neighborhood. But I really I wanted to make sure we talked about some of the really great comedies that are on TV in the summertime, too. Like Louie.
Oh, yeah.
I love Louie.
Checked out the first two episodes this season already.
Yeah.
Was really impressed. You know, I like that show is that I think they do it with one camera sometimes because a lot of the scenes seem like they're shot that way. And I don't know if it's that they're restricted to that because of like the budget or how they want to produce, but it makes it so sometimes a Louie episode is just like three or four scenes, you know, just like all in a few long takes of
him. Because I know he had a background as like he had directed short films. So basically he's just still doing that.
Yeah.
He's just directing short films and then they get put on TV like two a week. And it's pretty awesome. I don't know. Yeah. And he's got a really low budget so that he can, but he has 100% creative control.
Right, right.
Exactly.
So he's got the dream.
He's got a camera
like,
and iMovie.
He's the thing that every true like artist style comedian, like a comedian.
Yeah,
who
he's
just
oh for sure he's a
in.
Comedian's comedian.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And like he's the kind of guy that we all like aspire to be. I think, like,
which is a shame because he doesn't seem particularly happy most of the time.
No,
I believe that he's a fairly
like,
morose guy.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
lets you wonder if you're
the road to go.
I want
to
be like that. Yeah. Give me that life. Yeah, he might be happier if you know what, but he says he's happy because of his kids, and I just can't help but think, but like maybe he'd be happier without those kids.
Imagine if you didn't have those kids on you. Yeah, Louie, it's great.
Oh shit,
Louie, it's great. But imagine.
But he's getting some cred now. He's getting his propers,
as he should.
He's not being overshadowed by Chris Rock anymore. They stand side by side.
Have you, even just the trailer that he cut for this show, or not trailer, but the scene where it was him talking to the guy who wants to put him in porn, or he wants to be put in porn? Have you ever
seen,
oh man,
seen this
I'll, we'll pull it up after this, but I recommend people check that out, because it's just him basically saying he's at the end of his rope, and he needs to make some money, he's got these kids, and so he wants to do porn, and the guy's describing all this horrific stuff he'd have to do, because he's like, Louis, there's two kinds of porn that sell, the sexy and the weird, and like, you're not the sexy, so he's just going off all this weird shit, and Louis's like, oh, okay, I'll do it, and then he gets the call, and he's like, oh, and he's like, oh, actually, the FX just picked up my show, Louis, so I don't have to do this, and the guy's like, oh, good, glad, you know, good luck, Louis, and then he, like, Louis walks on the guy's
so
like,
they use that as like the promo
show. And it's basically just could be a scene from the, you know, the show.
For sure.
It's awesome. Unbelievable.
I also love Children's Hospital.
I just started watching
Rob Corddry's show.
That's
it's great. I love it. It's totally absurd. And like, you don't even have to know that it's actually like a parody of Grey's Anatomy and stuff. It's just like a really weird, absurd show all on its own. Mm-hmm. And I know I heard an interview with him when he was saying like, they've gotten to the point where those actual shows they're trying to parody have gotten so ridiculous that parodying them is a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like it's too absurd to actually be on the real thing.
True enough, yeah.
But I love that show, and there's a new one that Elijah Wood is on, but I still like it anyway. It's on FX, I think. It's called Wilfred. And it's a redo of like an Australian sitcom.
I give Elijah Wood cred. I mean, I wouldn't like you say you like it in spite of him. Basically, is what you just said.
I want to like him, but there's just the Lord of the Rings movies. He's a little too much.
He's
weird.
But I still like him. I want to like him. But the show is great. It's a really weird concept. Elijah Wood. He sees this chick that lives next door. Her dog as a guy in an Australian man in a dog suit. Everyone else sees a dog.
And he sees.
And he speaks with him, and so he's buddies with this Australian guy in a dog suit. and it's a very strange
concept.
Is
the girl hot?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, ostensibly, Elijah Wood's becoming friends with the dog to get with the chick.
But I bet that doesn't work out right.
Right. Actually, who was it? The American Pie, Chris, whatever his name is.
Klein.
Chris Klein was in the latest episode playing this girl's stealthy boyfriend. And I was like, Chris Klein, get out of here.
He's happy just to be booking work.
Yeah.
True enough.
Remember when he was going to be a movie star?
Yeah.
All on his own?
Yeah. Taking those lead men roles?
Yeah. Yeah,
Chris. Whatever knows the lead.
Rollerball.
Chris, whatever. Was he in Rollerball?
He was the lead in Rollerball.
Oh, pull that up if possible.
Man, Rollerball was better, but also worse when it starred James Caan in the '70s.
Yeah, the first Rollerball wasn't great.
James Caan's pretty terrible.
A remake.
If you're watching a James Caan movie that's not called The Godfather, turn it off. Because James
Caan, that's just how it is.
You know what? No, wait. He had a cameo in Bottle Rocket, and that's not a terrible movie. But any movie featuring prominently James Caan, just get rid of it. Toss it. It's not worth it.
Wait,
don't subject yourself to
that. This is the movie you said Chris Klein is in?
No, this is the first one.
No, this is the original one.
Oh, okay.
He wants the remake up, Justin.
Roll.
The 2002 version.
Rollerball.
Rollerball, Rebecca Romijn.
Oh, wow, I kind of vaguely recall this.
Rebecca, LL Cool J and Jean Reno.
Ladies love Cool J.
Oleg Taktarov, he was like a fighter guy, I think.
Naveen Andrews.
Wow.
From Lost.
That's some classy shit right there, Rollerball.
Wow.
Better believe it.
Well, I mean, it's sci-fi.
2.8 out of 10.
It's a sci-fi sports movie. Like, who's the audience for that? Nerds don't like sports. Sports people don't like sci-fi.
We could have saved them a lot of money.
Yeah, there's a very narrow slice of the population would be interested in this. And then they made it even better by hiring fucking Chris Klein and LL Cool J to carry the picture.
Can you go to Chris Klein's?
Where could they have possibly seen anywhere they were going wrong?
Yes.
I think when they started making the remake for Rollerball, I think that's where they found out they were going wrong.
Oh, like, man, Chris Klein.
Oh, Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
That's
Charlie.
Oh, boy.
Well, he is scraping the barrel.
Chris Klein. No, you know,
so
he's scraping,
let's just harass
he's
Chris
scraping
Klein
the barrel
episode.
By getting back to his... He's regressing to the Chris Klein mean right now. This is where Chris Klein's career belongs. If it could sink a little lower, it would be better.
Yeah, right now... He's probably just priced himself out of commercials because of his bigger creds. He's like, fuck, I wish I could just do some fucking commercials again. Just wish I could be a pretty boy who gets out of the shower, damn it.
Come on, Mentos.
Axe body spray.
Yeah, yeah. He could be booking all that work right now, but he's a bit too high profile.
Yeah, if he sinks a little lower, he can get that sweet Brian Callen money.
That's Brian Callen's money. You stay away from that Brian Callen money.
He's got all that sweet Gillette cash.
He's from the Philippines. He is.
He was born in the Philippines.
He was born there.
Well, why wasn't he on that show with Mike Green?
Because he's in the Philippines.
Because he's also not Filipino, really. And also maybe a little too high profile for the Winnipeg Filipino show. But not too high profile for Gillette commercials and subsequent touring the country as the Gillette guy.
With the Gillette
That's
challenge.
What you aspire to in life, like... Could I be the Verizon? Could I be the Can You Hear Me Now guy?
The Gillette
Sign
guy,
me up.
He's in a lot of stuff though. Aside from that,
I'll take a commercial. I'll take the guy who currently plays like the store manager in the A&W commercials. I could play that guy's role. I'll be that guy.
The round
be the manager.
Guy.
Yeah, the bald guy.
Yeah, and you'd be the screw up employee who's
he's
eating the burger out.
He's like a Toronto improviser. That guy, I think.
The screw up guy.
Screw up
Mama
guy.
Burgers, 5 for $2. Wacky.
You just booked your. You just punched your ticket to Hollywood. You just punched.
That's
it.
What
Step
I
it up.
Call
Step
comedy.
It up.
That's comedy right there. Comedy gold. Can we get back to hip hop? Because I really, I wanted to hear I want to know what Mike Green had to say about the forthcoming album, Watch the Throne.
I don't know.
The Jay-Z Kanye collab album.
Oh, I didn't know about that collab.
It is a straight up 50-50 Jay-Z Kanye.
So they're forced to bill it as, but I think if we stepped in on those booths, we'd find Jay-Z smoking a lot of joints while Kanye was putting his work in there. At the end, Jay-Z just signs his name at the bottom right beside, and it's 50-50. But we'll see who did more work on that album.
But if he's actually doing 50% of the rapping, then he must have put in some actual effort, right? Like, you'd he's not just so. Throwing in a few lines.
No, yeah.
Right? Like,
he's probably throwing a couple beats.
Maybe he made
some good beats.
Maybe he just ended up spitting lines that Kanye had. He just bullied them out. Bullied Kanye. He's like, I feel good, Kanye.
Gotta get them beats. You ever? It just makes me. Whenever I think of Kanye, though, I think of that Aziz Ansari bit with the. You try to make 5 beats a day
for three
summers.
Have you seen, though, like, there used to be a clip that's not online of him doing that, and then he does another joke about a police dog, and he calls it back. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think I've seen the police
okay,
dog.
Okay, like, I got huge into Aziz right after Funny People, so it was before he...
Okay.
He did blow up off that movie, but I was looking at online, and then mm-hmm. there was a lot of old stand-up clips, and they're all off now because he has... His copyright
because,
stuff.
Because they're all in his 1 hour special.
Exactly, yeah, that's another thing too.
Like, see, I saw him at Bonnaroo in 07, and like all of his material from Bonnaroo 07 were in his 2010 yeah. stand-up special.
CVS.
And that's fine, but yeah, like... But
it's still good material.
No, it's still good material, but he's certainly not prolific.
Exactly, yeah. And that, yeah,
and
that's a big
fine.
Reason
But he also
why
had, like,
off.
Human Giant going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, he's had other
that.
Projects, absolutely.
Human Giant had great scenes, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ones that were really funny.
Illusionators were great.
Oh, yeah. I love... Have you ever seen the one where it's Aziz is... Like, it's people who get lots of YouTube hits, and Rob Hubel chops off his dick, and then Aziz Ansari is just the guy who makes funny faces,
yeah.
and they're on the... That's...
And yeah, yeah. Good. He makes funny faces, and he gets more hits.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, Rob's gonna do something yeah. so drastic because he wants to have a huge viral video,
yeah.
but the funny face guy gets more hits anyway.
And then they start, like, eventually going after each other, and yeah. it escalates. That's a good one. Awesome. See, that's what, like, yeah, an SNL thing wouldn't, like... It would just... The joke wouldn't go anywhere, but at least on those yeah. shows, Human Giants, like the young guys who do stuff now, it changes. You know, you gotta
yeah.
give the people something.
Exactly. All the best, all my favorite, like some of my favorite comedy shows were all like not really respected as much as they deserved. Human Giants, great. The Upright Citizens Brigade TV show was awesome. Mr. Show was what started it all for me. Like, I fell in love with the format and everything, and needed to see more when I saw Mr.
Also,
Show.
Also, an HBO TV show.
Yeah, Mr. Show
comes
was on
back
HBO
around
as well.
People.
Sure,
comes back around.
It always comes back around HBO.
Spin it, give it a spin. It'll come around.
They are the Alpha and the Omega.
Yep.
Yeah, indeed. I think that would be a good time for us to take a little break.
Sure, why not? Let's do it. Rip, rip, rap-tastic! You're back with Medium Clever.
Awesome. That's awesome. Let's big
We're going
league.
With that one. Let's do that one.
Big league stew.
Big league stew.
I want to open this up with a story that I hope is relatable from my childhood. Like, I don't know if this is common as a person growing up in the city, but like as a small town person, like I'd play baseball, right? Like that was like the thing you did in the spring. All the little kids played, you know, softball. And there'd always be, like, one team in town that, like, the biggest asshole in school was there, like, the dick sports kid, like, the fuck you kid. And his dad would coach, and all the great kids, all the best athletes, somehow managed to be on that team every year, and it wasn't you. Like, I liked playing sports, but I never had the illusion that I was a great performer at them. Mm-hmm. So I was never on that team. But the good thing was that since I was always on a shittier team, I would actually get to play shortstop every once in a while, which was what I dreamed of at night when I was 10. No, I didn't even watch sports on TV ever at all when I was a kid actually playing sports. But I loved playing shortstop. And it was the best thing in the world when I was 10. So, but the one game, and I remember this one fucking game more than... This one moment in this one game when I'm like 10 years old, more than any other memory from sports as a child. Because I'm playing shortstop. I'm in the fucking zone. I love it. And we're playing against the asshole kids team. The fuck that team. We gotta beat them, but we never will. You know, like, we were the Bad News Bears. You know, we were the Mighty Ducks. Right. And they were the kids with the Los Angeles Kings jerseys or whatever. Right. And, and so the biggest prick kid, of course, is at the plate, and he takes a cut, and he grounds it to second, which is great, because fuck that guy. And so the second baseman gloves it, Ain't no thang. Misses the first baseman. Ball bounces away. So Asshole Kid's rounding first. He's coming for second. First baseman runs out. He grabs the ball. He fires it to me at second. But it gets there too late. Kid's already headed for third. I turn. I wheel. I'm ready. I've been training for this moment my entire life. I whip around to fire it at the third baseman. And the third baseman is Justin Gorin. And he is standing 20 feet off the bag, staring into space. And the ball flies, because it was a sharp one. It was a good one. I was going to gun down that motherfucker, because fuck him. And the ball goes flying out into foul territory. Guy rounds third, and he scores on an infield home run.
Nice.
Like, in the park, home run is like a thing where you're like, that's a matter of pride. That shit doesn't happen here. This kid didn't even hit it out of the infield. And it's the only, like, it's the first moment in my life, the first crystal moment of just pure anguish. Like, just the first, that's like the strongest emotion from my childhood I can remember, because it just didn't categorize into any other emotion I ever felt before. It was just,
wanting to really stick it to someone and then not having, like, that is...
And then have everything that could go wrong. It's just, like, the most embarrassing way that it could possibly happen.
Yeah.
Probably explain. So your question at the start of that long rant was, I don't know if this is relatable or not. I think that's what you said at the outset.
Yeah, I did. So, was there? Did you have that kid when you were growing up? Was there kid?
I had that feeling of wanting to bite people as bad as they could be spitting.
But it wasn't like one specific guy.
I don't remember a specific. No,
there was more.
So.
There was more variety, so it was like a type of guy.
My hatred is more spread out, or I hate less. It's hard to say. Mm. Probably more spread out because I have a lot of hate. So, I don't think that's the problem.
I'll hate.
Stopped up here.
So that might have been a long story. I don't know, but I felt like it needed to be told.
No, I don't know about you, but I had nothing but the time to. To hear that, so
I just
that's what we're here for, man. We're here to feel it out. You feel it out in the space.
I hope I built it up enough.
Feel it out in the space.
Yeah, that's great. Love it. Hey, Sean, what's going on?
What's up? I'm doing good.
You're doing good.
I'd say so.
Was there anything you wanted to bring to the table, so to speak?
Bring to the table.
I don't think I've ever asked you for if there's anything that you'd like to talk about before. I mean, we've talked about things you want to talk about, but I've never actually requested that you give us something.
How about the Youth Criminal Justice Act? Get political on this bitch.
I know, right? What's your take?
I think it's a piece of shit.
Oh.
I don't think
Big
it
League
works
Stew
at all.
Hating on the Youth Criminal Justice Act. Yeah.
This old beef. Squash the beef. Let's hear it out. Squash the beef.
I was reading an article, and
okay, so you're reading an article about the youth.
You think it's too soft on the criminals or too harsh?
No, it's way too soft. There was it was an article about this like 16-year-old kid at the time, and he went on like a nerd rage or something, and hit a woman with a board and caused her paralysis, like she has a permanent brain injury.
Whoa.
And then proceeded to beat another guy half to death, and now he's like paralyzed for the rest of his life. And he got out his sentence was 3 years in jail. I just think that's wrong.
But at the same time, like I hear you, and I don't, this isn't funny. This isn't funny.
It's not funny.
I was just going to be like, but kids are stupid, and you have to actually give them a chance to mature, because
fuck you.
Yes, but at the same time, you have to believe that. I believe that adults can reform, so fucking kids should be able to.
Yeah, it's almost, it's tough, because it's like, they did, like, somebody does something really bad, but at the same time, it's almost like, yeah, but, like, when you're, kids are fucking stupid, like, teenagers are fucking, man, there's many things I did in my teenage years that could have gotten me in a lot more trouble, or seriously injured myself, that, like, Tom, you're a fucking idiot, and you don't even think about it, really, you're kind of like, no lasting repercussions, na-na-na-na-na-na-na, rock music, no lasting repercussions.
And that pisses me off, like,
how about this?
Fuck you.
But even if you just wanted to think about it from, like, an asshole conservative perspective, it would be like, but then you're going to lock that kid up for 60 years, and how much does that cost the taxpayer? Huh? Huh?
Yeah, and to what end? Like,
damn it!
The other thing is then is the question to punish him or to like actually because like if it's to punish him, oh yeah, maybe we should just you know keep him in jail indefinitely because
that's the purpose.
Exactly. Is that the purpose? Which it, in theory it isn't. It's supposed to, you know that's not really just that's you know
we should be working hardest to reform the young people, right? They're the ones that have the biggest chance to change their ways.
I'm not saying in that, like, there's definitely situations, but, like, I think a lot of cases you'd find, like I said, like, I look back and, man, like, you just do things when you're at a certain age that it's just so fucking stupid. It defies explanation.
And we don't let, and we still let people who were former child soldiers in Africa immigrate to Canada. They've committed the worst atrocities of all. And they get, and we reform them, and we say, okay, child soldier that just was given like cocaine and an AK-47 at 8 years old, we can turn you into a human again. Like, what shouldn't we do that for? Like kids that set things on fire in like Manitoba.
You took the harshest possible light to throw us under here at the end. It gets all dour. Like now, I'm thinking about his blood diamond on repeat. My God, that's all I can.
I will only buy blood diamonds. Like I don't like a diamond isn't really worth that much unless it's a blood diamond.
For a second, sure.
Then it's got some real value. Like real. Like you know that. It's a power trip.
I was talking about the movie, and so when you first said I only buy blood diamonds, I was like, "That's the only movie or the only thing you buy is blood diamonds." I buy stacks of DVDs of blood diamonds.
Yeah, I've got a whole cabinet full of DVDs, all of them Leonardo DiCaprio and Jaimon Hansu in blood diamond.
That's all I've been able to think about since this conversation took the dark turn it went on. Is just
he's using me, and I am using you. Blah 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 blah.
This is Africa.
Yeah, this is Africa, Danny.
CIA.
Comedy podcast, African Child Soldiers.
CIA.
That's a vaudeville routine, right? About African Child Soldiers. Wackety pry.
Very popular.
I forget that not all comedians are comedy nerds.
Yeah.
Because they're not. But I'm a huge nerd for comedy. I just eat it up.
I think all the people who are really comedians have to be. Though, like, because if you're not, then you're probably just an act. Like, actors do a lot of stand-up. It's just a thing to do if you're going to be a comedic actor, improviser. And I don't know if those guys have the same comedy boner that, like...
So we were saying, like, there's a... Like, the real comics are all comedy nerds.
I think so, yeah. How could you not be if you're trying to be good at it yourself?
Yeah, if you're really trying to do it.
You're going to try and see what other people are doing and what you like and, you know.
Yeah.
So how could you not be? I mean, yeah, just by the law of, like, how passion sort of works... You have passion about it, you know.
Well, was there like one or two? Was there any like comics that really like inspired you, like with the passion?
To be honest, it was there's a lot of older comics like Eddie Murphy, Ron Delirious. When I was younger, they were like amazing to me. I could probably quote them line for line. Mm-hmm. And then right before I got into stand up, though, I was only watching Aziz Ansari. It was right after that Funny People thing.
Okay,
and it was before all those old good clips of him got taken down. Mm-hmm. And then when you see him do his special, he's honestly, it's very obvious, he's told those jokes 8,000 times. He's tired of them. He's doing them just like a character. But when you see him when he's working on them, or like, I saw lots of clips where he'd be doing like, there's one where he does the Cold Stone Creamery bit, but a chick worked at Cold Stone, and he starts riffing with her, and it's unbelievable. And that, you know, like all that stuff's offline. So, you I know he was legit, like, he has legitimate, good, funny.
No, he's one
like
of my
the MTV dating series Next. I love that.
Oh, yeah, that's
that's Riverview. That, he's great. And I know for me, it was like, I always loved stand up when I was a kid, but I never really thought it was me until. It was probably just a factor of, like, the age I was at when I got my early 20s, and I was like, wait, no, I want to do that. It didn't turn into that until I was listening to, like, a lot of David Cross and Patton Oswalt and stuff like that, I think is what... It kind of tipped it for me, but I loved Delirious. There was, like... There was two places in Swan River to rent movies, and one of them had, like, a well-worn VHS tape of Delirious that, like, every kid in town had rented 10 times.
That's hilarious.
It was like the only. It was the like the only stand-up tape that you could find if you know you'd have to, someone would have to get cable or satellite TV in your neighborhood so that you could see comedy. Like, it's messed up.
Jeff Foxworthy for me.
My parents had a Jeff Foxworthy tape. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was all over that. I think we talked about it on here once before, didn't we? Did we talk about Jeff Foxworthy?
I'm pretty sure we have.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And Bill Cosby. I loved Bill Cosby when I was a kid. But I didn't see his stand-up. I just watched his show, and I loved the Cosby Show.
Didn't really watch a lot of Cosby.
It was good times. Well, you're a little younger, Mike.
How old are you guys?
I'm 28.
Back in my days.
Well, no, but when you're a kid, those years are a lot bigger in cultural impact, right? Like,
yeah, I guess so.
Like when you're a kid is like 1 year is like a lifetime when you're eight.
Yeah. Really
you
is.
Know, like, yeah, true enough.
Like you wouldn't be into Biker Mice from Mars where you might be. You know, or something like that. There's going to be some watershed moment where the things that came before that are just out. Right?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that. Fuck Biker Mice from Mars.
Yeah?
Bucky O'Hare.
You were down with Bucky O'Hare. Captain Planet.
For sure. Captain Planet,
he's our hero.
Watched, but it was kind of dumb.
He's going to take pollution down to zero.
Do you know any of these cartoons?
Oh, yeah. Captain Planet, I know.
Exactly.
Captain Planet's in the fuck. Dr. Blight is a bitch.
The first bit I ever did was a Captain Planet joke.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was a very vague reference. It was right around the time that Kanye did the Taylor Swift interruption.
Okay.
And and so there's all those videos of – or there's all those parody pictures that people had of like I don't know, a picture like him in front of the gods, like the Genesis, and him saying, yo, God, like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm going to let you finish. But Sega had one of the best Genesis of all time. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yo, Patrick Swayze. And I did a joke where I went to Mystique nightclub that week before it opened, and it was supposed to have all the elements united in the club.
Oh, okay.
That was their whole thing.
That was their Mystique?
Yeah, and then I did a bit where I was like, I just called someone on stage. I was like, can you just be... Mystique intercept or like accepting the award.
Right.
And then I grabbed the mic and just went, "Yo, I'm gonna let you finish, but Captain Planet and
had the best elements, you know,
uniting of all time." That was it. It was a little fucking stupid joke, but
Captain Planet. I've been getting into comic books again. I've been reading like Spider-Man comics, like I'm a kid. It's been great. I love it. I don't have anything funny to say about it. I love Spider-Man right now. It's
when
great.
I was growing up, I read Dark Horse comics.
Yeah, you were like an indie kid when you were 10.
I guess.
I live on the wrong side of the fucking Portage Avenue.
Aliens versus Predator. I read
Dark Horse comics, man.
That's right.
Take that kiddie Avengers shit out of here. I'm reading the Savage Dragon.
Fuck you, Batman. No, Batman's cool.
Yeah, fucking right, Batman's cool.
New Arkham City coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
That'll be a good... Their first Arkham Asylum game was awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying not to pick up any video games in the summer because, like, that's not what I need right now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That is not what I need.
Very hard not to.
It's like, oh, user-generated content, so the game never stops giving me new stuff. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, bring that here.
80 hours.
We'll see that. We'll take a look at that.
$10.
It can be tough, you know, losing parts of your life into video games. I think I've gotten to the point where I'm like starting to really see playing video games for hours as a gigantic waste of time.
Yeah, well, at 28, I'm 23, and no offense, but like that's I kind of figured that one out a little while ago. It's gotta be just the
maybe I shouldn't play Civilization for 10 hours today.
Very possible.
There's a whole real civilization outside. You're not a kid. You can go out in it now. Fucking live your life. Stop trying to kill the Babylonians.
They are fuckers.
They're the worst.
Hammurabi wants
to
be
plus
your
five
friend.
In research? Am I right? I fucking don't know.
Yeah. Warcraft 3 is my bitch, but I...
Oh, yeah. Warcraft 3.
That's the old one.
Oh, Warcraft... No, that's not the old one. We played Warcraft 2 back in the day.
Fuck Warcraft 2 in its face.
I loved Warcraft 2, and I hated Starcraft.
Starcraft was where it's at.
Starcraft can suck it. I loved
Warcraft
2.
Do you play Starcraft 2, Stewie?
I do not, no.
I don't either.
I play TF2. I'm all about the TF.
I only play like four games. I play like Call of Duty, MLB The Show, Civilization, and right now I'm also playing Diablo 2.
That's old.
It's old as hell. School. but for some reason
they still
I decided
have
an
online community, though, I bet.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's they do, big. But I don't want anything to do with it. There's probably still people paying real money on PayPal for rare items.
Buying SOJs?
I'm not that deep into it. What's that? What does that mean?
Stoner Jordan, I believe. Is that not?
I don't know.
Oh, I'll
play some Diablo, but I'm not deep into the mythos.
That was when I was like 12 or 13, so I had a surplus of time to invest in. And my older brother played, like, you know, basically doing. But no, that was the currency, because that was like the most standard item, like rare item that.
Oh, okay. So it was just like, it became the trading chip?
Yeah, basically. Like, it wasn't even like especially good to equip. Like, it was plus one to everything or so. I don't know. It was something. Okay. It was something that just was rare to find, and so it. I don't know. It had a certain weight. It really it was a currency,
it's
man.
Like, it's one of those things where they didn't really intend it, but it kind of grew naturally into like this thing. Whereas now, when they create these games, that's all like built in the system where like they just it kind of that it's an economy that sprang up naturally. That they were just like learned from and incorporated into their business so that no one else made money.
Diablo Wiki.
It was all
there
them.
You go.
The Stone of S-O-J. Jordan Ring. The SOJ, of course. Classic item. Iconic even, status.
Even now, though, in like World of Warcraft, not that I play any of this shit at all, but they're gold farmers, right? You know, like people do the same thing and
they're
pay
all
for
Korean.
Gold. Yeah, well, they're working for a bowl of rice a day, so I probably shouldn't make any jokes at their expense.
Are they? Do they have North Koreans working for a bowl of rice a day, or is it all just South Koreans farming gold?
I don't know, man. I just know they're in sweatshops, and they
Man's
would.
Gotta eat.
What I know is that I tried to play some Call of Duty the other night, and the other team was entirely produced. They were entirely made of South Koreans doing their pre-work exercises by beating up white kids across the world in Call of Duty. That's my only I'm not that bad at the game. The only excuse is that they're Koreans that are playing video games 20 hours a day.
They're so ghosty. Well,
they have a gamer army. They're going to wage war.
Well, it is like the one country in the world where there's a legit like gaming professional gaming league with stars.
It is very legitimate. With stars that are known that get televised. That draw big crowds.
Let's watch StarCraft on TV. It's like it's one of those things where you like I'll turn to Sportsnet on like a Sunday afternoon in the winter, and it's like they're showing darts. And okay, you're showing darts, but it doesn't boggle your mind until they're like, and here's the room that they're playing darts in, and there's a fucking 2,000 people there to watch a Dutch postman throw darts.
And 180! Like, they get so excited.
He throws down with that. Ooh, he goes big.
Goes
they go
hard
big
in the paint.
On
they go hard in the paint.
Yeah, big time.
For sure.
They don't fuck around.
You got any more things on your little sheet there?
I don't fucking care. that's nothing pressing here. Nothing I really care about. It's all bullshit.
Is it a pile of jars?
It's a fucking pile of jars. Anything you want to plug, Mike?
The standard. That's
standard.
Thursday nights.
It's all about Thursdays and Sundays for the open mics.
Yep.
Thursdays at the standard.
Sundays at the Cavern.
Yeah, man. Those are the shows.
Yeah. If you like comedy for free... Tuesdays, the King's Head, also
free. Do you get any
comedy.
Hints on this? I don't even know where this
goes. Do we get any hints?
Well,
probably
okay.
Not.
I'll throw in the plugs here. Well, it looks like it's mediumclever.com.
There you go.
It's twitter.com/mediumclever, where we haven't really posted things there much. But mediumclever.com, there's some posts there. You can stream the podcast, but you can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Just search it up. You can search Brett Medill. You can search Sean Stewart. You can search Medium Clever. Any of those things in iTunes. You'll find us. We're right there where the whole world can have it. So get in on the ground floor, motherfucker.
If you happen to put
Medium
and Clever together, you might find our site. Actually, saying that, being a moderator on the site, you get to see the traffic that comes in on the website.
Yeah, we'll end on this.
And... from the Google results, people come in with the Google results and...
So you can see what people searched in order to reach
your
fucking blog.
Yeah. And two results were Ash and May doing sex, and one was Ash and May having sex. And being curious as to what the fuck this was, I Googled it, and it was just Pokemon hentai. Now, I don't know if the producer, Brand Bobby, is fucking with us. Or did if some kid, because I went through the different pages and
I'll bet you did.
I went through the first one. I didn't look.
How many pages of hentai porn did you get through, Sean? I don't need to see ass getting
boned by a Charizard. I'm good. There's
what if it's a dark Charizard
porn on the internet? But anyways, I went through the first 20 results and I did not find Medium Clever on that site. So either the kid went through 20 plus pages of Pokemon hentai and then went, oh look, Medium Clever. I wonder what that's about. And he came back to the site multiple times. I could only assume he either likes it or he's masturbating to her voices. And I don't know which one I'm more comfortable with.
You know what? If, you see, when you produce art like this podcast, Sean, it doesn't belong to you anymore when you put it out in the world.
No, it's people, for the
people apply their own meaning, what it means to them. So if there's some hentai porn enthusiast out there jerking it to Mike Green and us talking with our dulcet tones into these high quality mics without stands.
Without stands, yeah.
Then you know what, buddy? Just come for us right now.
Yeah.
You know what? No, stay where you are.
This has been Medium Clever. Thanks for listening.